What's up, y'all? It's the movie retrospective. Doing some 80s shit again. Doing some comic book movies, but maybe not the one that you're thinking of. So this is Swamp Thing from 1982.
Yeah.
Now,
better than I remembered it.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I hadn't seen this movie for a really long time, probably since the early to mid 80s. I didn't see it in the theater, but I'm pretty sure I saw it on cable. And I remember liking it, but not being one that was really in my regular rotation, I guess. So I was actually really curious to watch it again. And do you know, I had completely and utterly forgotten that this shit was directed by Wes fucking Craven.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. But you know what I mean? So how he got involved with it, and actually, at the time, I think he was probably sorry that he got involved with it, afterward, because it really didn't do all that well at the theater. But, you know, he was kind of more known for doing, obviously, real gritty horror, right? He'd done Last House on the Left and Hills Have Eyes and all that. And I guess he kind of wanted to show, the larger Hollywood studios that he could deal with sort of an action movie with comedic elements. He wanted to show, I guess, that he wasn't just a one-trick pony. Now, he had done Deadly Blessing prior to this, in 1981. And when they called him to do Swamp Thing, it's funny because Wes Craven, I don't know if you know, he's talked about this in a few of his interviews, but he was brought up in a very strict fundamentalist Christian household and was not allowed to read comic books. So he had never, when he was a kid, he never saw horror movies, and he, so he didn't know anything about the Swamp Thing character, but I guess he kind of liked it, so he came on board. One of the guys that was producing it, I saw an interview with him earlier, named Michael Uslan. This was actually his first kind of big production thing. As a kid, he had grown up being really into DC Comics, particularly Batman. And he was sad when he was a kid that the only Batman that we had was kind of the campy, the campy Batman TV series.
Yeah.
He thought that, superheroes should be taken more seriously.
He was imagining the Dark Knight, which a lot of dudes were.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he kind of wanted to, he did actually buy the rights to Batman when that wasn't all that expensive. And so initially he wanted to do something with Batman, but then he was like, well, that's going to cost way too much to, get his vision across. So he decided to go with a lesser known DC Comics character, Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Let me say something about Batman. This is a personal experience that I had when I was in high school living up in Michigan. We'd get up fucking, this is 80s, I think it must have been around 85. It was before the Batman movie came out, the one with Jack Nicholson. Who directed
what, the Tim Burton one?
Tim Burton, yeah. It was before that one actually came out, but not much before, maybe a few months before that one. And me and other guys are sitting up there, sitting in Denny's, drinking coffee in the middle of the fucking night, because it was safe to go there when you were kids. Your parents let you do it, I guess, And bitching about why there wasn't a good Batman. That Batman should have been like the comic books, and there was a comic books around that time called The Dark Knight. And, Batman was awesome. He was kind of like fucking The Punisher. And eventually we got something kind of like that, The Tim Burton one was pretty good. But the ones that came later were a lot better. That's what we were imagining back then.
Well, apparently you weren't alone.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people did, and as I said, Superman, the first Superman was obviously showed that superheroes could be taken more seriously.
Two.
Right.
The first two.
But so far that hadn't really been done for Batman. And I said, because Michael Uslan, he wanted to do Batman, but he just thought he wouldn't be able, since he was new at it, he wouldn't be able to get the budget to do what he wanted to do. So he decided to go with a lesser known DC character, Swamp Thing.
Yeah, we were taking him serious when we were kids. Just that they weren't giving that to us yet. That came later. One of the first real serious ones after Batman, or after Superman, that I saw that I said was hey, that's kind of serious. I like was Darkman, and I don't know if there was a comic book associated with that, but it felt like a comic book movie.
I don't know either, but what's weird
is Darkman was good.
Is that I think there's some similarities in Swamp Thing. There's some stuff that happens in this movie that's similar to stuff that happened in Darkman. I'm not sure either, if Darkman came from, because the Swamp Thing comic The character of Swamp Thing first emerged in 1971.
Yeah.
I think in maybe like another comic, and then like he had his own later on.
Yeah. I was mentioning that when me and Jenny were watching. I was like, this is kind of like Darkman.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Darkman. It is kind of a serious comic book movie. Serious for the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's still pretty. It's still kind of goofy.
Right.
Gotta say.
But it was a big move up compared to like a lot of the other super bullshit. Later on, Spawn came out. We fucking loved that. But this was way before Spawn. All right. With this movie, there's only two problems I have with this movie. Swamp Thing didn't look like the Swamp Thing.
I saw this one.
It's too human in this.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think the budget on this was only maybe $2.5 million. And honestly, the producers were kind of like breathing down Wes Craven's neck. He had to cut a lot of stuff out that he wanted to do because it was too expensive. So they didn't really have a shit ton of money to work with the suits. And I think that the main criticism that people level toward this is that it suffers from quote-unquote man-in-suit syndrome.
Yeah.
Where it just looks like a dude in a suit. The Swamp Thing suit is not bad. Not terrible. Like I said, it doesn't look like the comic book necessarily. Yeah. It kind of looks like, I saw another review of this earlier that said it actually looks like somebody dressing up as him, like for cosplay, but he couldn't really afford to do a good one. It kind of looks like that.
The comic book covers the Swamp Thing. He looked like Sigmund in the fucking sea monster. That's what he looked like.
I mean, he looks like a person, kind of, but he has like all these kind of like palm fronds like sticking out like that. He still looks like a big, like a Hulk type person. But he still looks like a human, but he has like a lot more detail and a lot more plant matter on him.
And then the superhero, the supervillain in this fucking looks like shit.
I mean,
it was a good idea, but it just looks like
shit. The worst, I have to say. I mean, it looks really bad.
They had people out there that could make
really bad.
They could make badass costumes, and you know, really, they should have got the guy who did fucking like the Howling. The guys who did the Howling is who should have done the costumes.
Rob Bottin do that?
They could have executed kind of like a pig version of wild boar version of kind of like the werewolves from the Howling, and it would have been a lot better.
I was not entirely sure. Can I just say this? Yeah. I was not entirely sure what the arcane monster was supposed to be even. I thought, because you remember that scene like near the beginning of Swamp Thing where Ray Wise, like the Dr. Genius guy, is digging around in the tank and then he pulls that little critter out?
Yeah, it's a possum.
Which is like, it's like a possum. Yeah. So I thought because they were talking about this possum being like part of the experiment because, you know, the serum is supposed to mingle plant and animal DNA for, you know, which that can... Of course, that's never going to go wrong. But you know what I mean? So they had that. So I thought that the arcane monster was maybe supposed to be like... I was like, was it trying to harken back to the possum? Because I was like, what animal is he supposed to be exactly? And he didn't really have any plant. I wasn't reading plant.
I thought it was a wild boar.
Yeah, I was more reading like pig head, but with
a mane.
Like a mane. But then what was going on with the rest of the suit though?
I couldn't figure out. Did it have a tail?
See, I don't think it did. And the thing about it though is that he wasn't just like a pig man with hair. Like I don't know what that was about, but he also like. At first, he kind of, like, started... He didn't melt exactly, but he kind of almost looked like he was developing a cocoon of some kind.
Yeah,
and he looked like a big turd.
Yeah.
And then, like, he busted out of the turd, and then he was a pig monster or something.
Metamorphosis.
Like I know, but the thing about it, I mean, the whole...
It didn't make any sense. It wasn't a good creature, really.
It wasn't. And honestly, it should have at least tied in with, like, the theme of the... Because, you know, it... And we'll talk about the plot in a little bit, too, but the whole point of the serum was that it makes you more of what you already are.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't get that with the arcane monster. I'm like, so what does that mean that he was... I would have thought...
He's a pig? I don't know.
That's what I do.
Because what it was is
that they should have thought more about it, what I'm saying.
They're like, get this movie in the can. Yeah, he's a monster. That's all they're thinking about, you know. In this era, they did not think too clearly about things like that usually. I mean, good movies did, but most of them really didn't. It was just trying to get the just trying to get a monster out there, get the movie done, and let fucking kids figure it out or make shit up about it. They didn't really care. Oh, you want a monster? Yeah, here's a monster. Yeah, that's as far as that shit.
I will say that the monster, the arcane monster, didn't look as bad as Rawhead Rex, but almost. It kind of reminded me of the Rawhead Rex monster.
It was worse. Rawhead Rex was.
I think the Rawhead Rex monster. I think that threw me off because it just had those big googly eyes.
When Rawhead Rex came out, we got that shit on VHS when it was new, and we fucking enjoyed the movie. We're like, yeah, but mostly we just liked the damn church scenes with the fucking priest, and he was getting pissed off by the monster and the evil stained glass window. We just thought that shit was cool. And then when you saw the monster, you know what I mean? We're like, yeah, okay. We didn't question it that much. You know, I guess you could say we're kind of like, it was the 80s. The 80s weren't that different from the 50s, I guess.
Well, I mean, the 80s, like, a lot, you would let a lot of stuff slide long as it was. And honestly, the first time I saw Swamp Thing, it didn't occur to me that, like, the Swamp Thing monster looks okay.
Yeah.
You know, but the evil monster at the end, at least it's only at the end, like, doesn't really look all that good and doesn't seem all that well thought out.
They did some random bullshit. What it was is they cheaped out. They didn't get the right people to make those
covers. Or, like I said, maybe they just ran out of money. Because, like I said, they made this for only $2.5 million. Yeah. And Wes Craven said that the producers were huge dicks and that they were just constantly, like, on their asses all the time. You have to cut this. You have to cut that. You know, this is costing too much, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of feel like the arcane monster, they made it out of whatever, like, remnants they had, like, hanging around, like, in the creature shop.
You can put that on the producers then, because you don't do a sci-fi horror comic book movie unless you have enough money to at least get good costumes. If you can't afford good costumes, you don't do that shit. You do something else.
And, I mean, that's kind of like the whole, you know, this is a monster movie.
Yeah, you better have the monster. Pretty much. The superhero.
And the monster in this one, the good monster, Swamp Thing, you see him a lot, and you see him in broad daylight a lot. So
they had guys that can make good creatures, good creatures effects for not that much money. I mean, that was a kid that made the damn Predator, and they hired him as second unit to come in and fix the shit that they had on there before.
He was just some kid
in late teens, early 20s, and he didn't charge that much to make that Predator. Just he wanted to make it. I think he made most of it in his garage, didn't he?
Garage
studio. I mean, he was good at latex. He could model and sculpt. But it's more talent than money, really. You just got to get the right guys. And the problem is that once you get the right guys, once he's got a name, he wants to charge a shit ton of money.
Well, rightly so.
Well, people are fighting over him, so he's got all these damn projects. But they should have went for some new guy who wanted to show off his skills, and you hire him to make the damn costumes, and but I could beat those costumes. Now, I'm pretty good. I'm with my hands, but I could definitely make better costumes than that.
Well, I could for sure make a better one than the arcane monster in this. I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident that saying that.
That one would have been easy to beat. But I think I could have done the swamp thing. I could have done a better version of the Swamp Thing. Yeah, I could make that costume. Mine would look a little bit more like Sigmund and a sea monster. That would look like the ones on. It'd look like the cover of the comic books.
Yeah, they should have made him like
that
snout
and the red eyes. You know,
that'd have been cool if they'd have made him goopier, like with more kind of stuff hanging on him.
Yeah, but he's like a shambling mound of stuff. Is what Swamp Thing actually looked like.
I mean, that's understandable, like I said, because he did have to do like a lot of stunts and fighting and shit like that, and. Yeah. Where they shot this was hot as balls.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining that.
You didn't have to show its skin. The comic book is just a shambling mound of stuff. So really, you could make basically a ghillie suit. That's what we'd call it in the army, a ghillie suit, which is a damn jumpsuit with a bunch of burlap straps hanging from it. It's all spray painted different colors. I just do it with different materials and have things like fucking, like it looked in the comic book, lily pads and fucking tentacles and pieces of damn grass. It looked like he was growing, you know, or he looked like a plant man.
Well, he was a plant man. He was a big, bulky plant man.
I would do it along the lines of a ghillie suit.
Yeah, I mean, and that probably wouldn't have been a lot that hard to do. But yeah, I heard that, like, even the stuntman that played the arcane monster in this, like, at least fainted at least one time because it was so fucking hot. Now, even though the movie was supposed to be set in the swamps of Louisiana, they actually shot that in the swamps of South Carolina.
Yeah.
So, but it looks like Louisiana, though.
It kind of. Yeah. Some of the trees are the same.
It looks swampy, that's for sure.
It looks swampy, just not as thick as Louisiana. Louisiana swamp, it's got a fucking canopy over. It's real dark. Real dark in there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Much darker than I don't know if it was cheaper to film in South Carolina, but I'm assuming it probably was.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's talk about the story for this. So what you have at the beginning, you have the foxy Adrienne Barbeau in this.
And both of her boobs.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because we watched this on Tubi. It's on Tubi for free.
Yeah.
And it says it's rated PG.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, this has a lot of nudity for a PG. But I found out there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Reason was, Adrienne Barbeau shot full frontal nudity, not for the U.S. cut, for the European cut.
Okay.
There were also a couple of other scenes that were supposed to be only in the European cut, like the whole Eyes Wide Shut party they were having with the stripper and everything. So those were only supposed to be in the European one. But when they put the DVD out in the U.S., they accidentally put out the European one with all the titties in it.
Yeah.
And then this woman in Dallas, Texas, rented the movie for her kids and complained at all the boobies. So they tried to recall it and fix it.
Yeah.
Or actually, the first thing they tried to do, they tried to take the easy way out and, like, ask Adrienne Barbeau, hey, can you sign off on the American nudity? And she was like, no, that's not in my contract. She's like, I only did the nudity for the European market because the Europeans love their boobies.
Yeah.
And so, but as it is now, I guess they just, like, said, fuck it, and either upped up the rating to PG-13. I'm not entirely sure what they did. Because, like I said, we watched it on Tubi, and it still says that the rating's PG-13, but all the nudity is in there. It's in the It's the European cut, the international cut.
It's
as they
ridiculous
call it.
Because there's nothing wrong with it. It's just
no, I know. It's just funny that
it's just topless and it's no big deal.
Well, and it's like super gratuitous, which is like what's really funny about it.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's like because in the American cut, you could still see like the side boob.
It hitches from
because there's like a shot of her like from the side, but then she turns to the front and she's like, "Hey, boobies," and everything like that. And I was like, "Oh my god, that's hilarious."
Adrienne Barbeau was known for her.
Well, yeah,
for you know her cans. All right. but in the U.S., you didn't really see them. It was just, you know, she was just in outfits.
Well, and in this movie, you get a big steaming eyeful.
Me being an avid boobologist, professor of boobology, I always thought they were implants. But no, they're natural.
Yeah, seeing them without a bra, yeah.
Right. And she's, let's just say, you know, she's talented. She's very gifted. not as big as I thought they were going to be, but it's most she looks better in a bra, if you ask me. She looks better in a bra. She looks bigger in a bra.
Wow, tough crowd.
Hey, I'm just, you know, in her era. Well, actually, no, because it had massive implants in that era too.
Yeah, they did.
Just I think she looks a lot bigger in a bra.
Well, she's good though. Most ladies do.
It's probably like a C cup.
Most ladies do. But so if you ever want to see Adrienne Barbeau's actual boobs, live and in color, this here's the movie to see them. Because the version that's on Tubi is the European cut, so you get to see the full frontal nudity.
Yeah, so she's looking good, especially for her age. She's not a young woman in this. I would say she's pushing 40.
I don't know, though, because, I mean, this was only 82. She'd been in she was in The Fog the year before this. She was in Escape from New York the year before this.
So this is year before that? Okay.
This was a year after Escape from New York.
Okay.
When did The Fog come out? 1980?
All right, so she was
okay, so this was
30s.
2 years after The Fog.
She probably...
And she was also in Creepshow this same year.
Yeah, so she'd have been in her 30s.
So...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So she plays a character named Alice Cable. Now, Alice Cable is actually not a character from the comic book. She's a conglomeration. In the comic books, there was a guy named Matt Cable, and he had his wife, I think, was named Abby Cable, and she was actually the niece of Anton, the supervillain, okay? Yeah. So they just combined those two people into one character. So at the beginning of the movie, there's this top secret, super secret government research project going on out in these fucking swamps, right? And one of the guys on the crew has, presumably, been eaten by an alligator. So Adrian Barbeau gets sent out there to replace him. So out here at this secret facility, Ray Wise, who's kind of like this genius doctor, and his sister, who is also a genius doctor, are making this glowing reanimator juice. It looks just like the reanimator juice. That's supposed to... Well, he's combining animal and plant DNA, right? And then it's supposed to just make plants grow really fast to, you know, stave off human starvation. They're just trying to grow more food for everybody, right? So there was that whole thing. Now, there's also this bad guy, Anton Arcane, who's played by Louis Jordan, who was in Octopussy, actually, a year or two after this. He was a Bond villain.
Keep forgetting that this movie is that old.
It is, yeah. Yeah, this came out when I was 10.
Damn.
So, damn, that is old. But yeah, so Anton Arcane also wants to get his grubby little mitts on this serum. So he has hired this gang of sort of idiotic militia dudes to...
They're mercenaries.
Yeah, so mercenaries to go in there and, like, kind of get him out. And this, yeah. And it's funny because... It's the little missionary, the missionaries, well, you know what I mean. The little group is led by David Hess, who obviously was Krug in Last House on the Left. He always plays a rapist. He's very rapey in this one, too. He doesn't actually rape anybody that we know of, but he threatens it a couple times, although Adrian Barbeau does kick him in the balls, so there's that. But yeah, so that's essentially what's going on. You know, the militia, not militia guys. Why do I keep saying
There's
that?
There's a difference.
The mercenary guys. Yeah. I just keep, it's yeah. an M word. I just keep saying
yeah, it's
that.
An M word.
It's an M word. So the mercenary guys keep trying to get in there and get the serum and get the notebooks and all this other shit. And then it turns out a bunch of people get killed. And then Ray Wise, the doctor, he spills the serum on himself and blows up, sets himself on fire. Well, he doesn't, you know, accidentally sets himself on fire and then just jumps into the swamp. Now, everybody thinks that he's dead, but then he comes back later as Swamp Thing. So the serum has made him into this monster. Now, at first, they want, because I love Ray Wise, right? Like, he's been in a million things. My favorite is, like, Twin Peaks, obviously, but as Leland Palmer. But he was actually supposed to be in the Swamp Thing suit, too. Like, at least during the close-ups. But, and then they were just going to get a stuntman for when Swamp Thing has to, like, jump around. But what happened was, when they did the makeup tests, the guy that plays Swamp Thing, Dick Durock, which sounds like a comic book name.
Or a porn name.
Or a porn name, yeah. Too. Sorry, Dick. But well, he probably already knows that.
She's apologizing to the Dick. Why am I apologizing to Dick? Dick hasn't done anything bad to you.
No, I'm saying I'm sorry that his name sounds like a porn name. Okay. That's what I meant.
All right.
I mean, maybe he's into that. I don't know. But yeah, so...
It's probably a stage name.
Yeah. So when they did the makeup test, they were like, well, Dick Durock, the stuntman, and Ray Wise look completely different with that makeup on. So basically they're like, okay, well, Ray Wise just plays the human, you know, plays his human equivalent. And then once he's in the suit, it's going to be the stuntman, like, all the time. So that's kind of how they got around that problem. But, you know, so as it happens, like, pretty much the whole middle of the movie, this isn't, like, a very long movie. I think it's only 93 minutes. That's with the titties added back in. I think it's only 91 minutes with the titties taken out. But the whole middle of the movie is essentially just Adrian Barbeau trying to run away from the mercenaries. And then she just keeps getting saved by Swamp Thing. Like, they keep capturing her. And then either she gets away or Swamp Thing jumps up and, like, starts beating the crap out of them.
Yeah, the mercenaries are in there to be cannon fodder for Swamp Thing, basically.
Yeah, that's he really just throws them around. There's, like, some airboat explosions. It's pretty rad, I gotta say.
Yeah.
I mean, for a two... This movie was actually better than I remembered. It's low budget. You can tell it's low budget. It does have, like, some cool explosions in it. I do like the Swamp Thing suit, but it could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
The monster at the end really kind of let it down. I kind of wish that they would have just let Arcane... I kind of wish she hadn't even drunk the serum. You know what I mean? Because...
you wouldn't have to show the stupid-ass monster.
Then you wouldn't have to show the stupid-ass monster. Like, they could have, like, written their way around that. Yeah. Because there was a thing where... So he see... Here's the dumb thing, though. So Anton Arcane, who's supposed to be this big, like, evil super genius, right? He sees what the serum did to Swamp Thing. Like, he turned him into Swamp Thing, right? To the doctor. And then he's like, well, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to give it to one of my henchmen, like this big hulking dude named Bruno. And it turns him into a little person who kind of looks like an elf or something.
A little pig man or something.
Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck? And then that's when Swamp Thing says, oh, well, the serum, I'm not really sure how Swamp Thing figured this out. But he says the serum actually just makes you more of what you were to start with. So if you were... like kind of strong in heart or whatever. He didn't say this, but this was how I took it. Then it'll make you really strong because Swamp Thing is really super strong. Oh, and also he has healing abilities and can bring people back to life.
Yeah.
Because a kid does get killed in this. Spoiler alert. It is Wes Craven after all. He's like, fuck you, I'm killing a kid. But he gets brought back to life. And I think Adrienne Barbeau gets killed a couple of times.
Yeah.
Doesn't she get killed a couple of times? At least twice.
She gets drowned once and then the second time I think she got shot in the titty.
Yeah, she got shot in the tit. That's right.
The titty. Like you should, and then brought her back to life.
At which point we were watching the movie, and I'm like taking on Swamp Thing's voice, being like, "Honey, you can't just keep dying and like expecting me to bring you back to life all the time. This is like the second time now, right? Jesus Christ!
And I'm watching there, like, wow, she comes. He fixes the titty, and when she comes back, they're actually double G's, like big old double G.
I said, "Yeah, that would
you would come
that
with
tracks.
Some shit like that."
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. I said, that's what you would do if you had Swamp Thing healing.
Not only did I fix him, whoa! I fucking improved. There you go.
Don't fall over.
Yeah, if she falls over on her face, she'll be boing. She'll just, like, spring back up. But, yeah, so he can bring, like, shit back to life and everything. So I'm guessing that because the doctor was, like, a good guy, it turned him, like, physically stronger and gave him healing abilities, whereas... the henchmen and Anton Arcane were shitheads, although Bruno was okay. I mean, he did bad shit, but you could tell he felt sort of bad about it. You know what I mean? So he was kind of like a reluctant. And then once he got turned into a little pig person, he turned on his superior pretty quickly. But see, I think that really would have made the movie if Anton Arcane... Okay, if they had to make him drink the serum, at least make him turn into something that made sense.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of anything right now, like, off the top of my head, but
neither
I'm sure...
Neither could they.
I guess so. I don't know, a pig person with a mullet and wearing, like, just a beige jumpsuit? How about that?
They could have done anything other than what they did.
I kind of thought... Well, the first thing I thought, and I know they can't do this because that would be ridiculous. That'd be a totally different kind of movie. I said, well, he's supposed to be, like, this big genius, but he's also, like, a huge, giant, like, arrogant asshole. I was like, why don't they just turn him into, like, a huge, big anus? But...
I think what they should have done is just turn him in. It would have been so much cheaper and more effective to turn him into something more kind of like the Emperor from Star Wars. Just an evil sorcerer type.
You know, they could have done that.
That's all they had to do.
They could have done that. Why don't they give him like a reptilian type of thing?
Yeah.
Like a snake monster, you know, or alligator or something like that. More.
Just a fucking a wizard costume, like the Emperor with some fucking reptile contact lenses and, you know, a slight green hint tinge, and maybe he can fucking make some fucking poison come out of it or something. Just poisonous gas.
Well, because snake and alligator, that would have that would tie back to the swamp at least, so you'd at least have some thematic like continuity.
At the end of the movie, it starts skewing very young and childish. They got to have a monster fight, like something out of WWF, WWE. So they wanted a monster he could wrestle with.
That's and Swamp Thing be throwing like right you know now. Throwing dudes out of airports, airboats, and like blowing them up
they
and shit like that.
Didn't quite know how to take comic book movies to the next level at this point. They were still kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know what I mean?
A little bit.
They weren't taking their own material seriously. That was always the fucking problem with comic book movies of the early era. The people making it didn't take the shit seriously, so you're going to end up with fucking bullshit.
I mean, you know, I do like this movie, though. It could have been better, but this is a very transitional... This wasn't only a transitional movie for comic book movies in general. It was also a transitional movie for Wes Craven because, as I said, prior to this, he had done more kind of like gritty, realistic, super violent horror films. And then he did this one, and this one did so badly that he thought he wasn't going to work again. He was actually kind of out of work for 2 years. He lost his house. He had to borrow money from Sean Cunningham for from Friday the 13th to pay his taxes. I think he borrowed $5,000 from him or something. And he just didn't think he was going to work again. But while he was working on this movie, he had the idea for, guess what? Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
So, and obviously that just like took the fuck off. So he went on to do that and Scream and everything like that. So it was fine. But this was definitely one that was like a transitional. And like I said, it's one when I talk about Wes Craven or when I think about Wes Craven, this is one that I completely forgot that he directed. It's kind of like when I think about John Carpenter and sometimes I completely forget that he directed Christine. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's one of the, even though I love that movie, it's kind of one of those things that you just like forget because it's not one of their big.
And it doesn't feel like a Carpenter movie.
That's true. I mean, it kind of does a little bit. But
you have to look for it.
Yeah.
It's actually a little classier than his normal shit in a certain way. It's, or I won't say classier, a little bit more corporate feeling in a way. Like, somebody was keeping him under control.
I kind of feel like that's maybe what happened with this movie, right, too. Because Swamp Thing wasn't a proven IP. It was a comic book character that was kind of like not a very well-known one from the DC stable. There had never really been a movie made of it before. Wes Craven had never made a movie like this before. It was a new producer who had never worked in the movie industry before. So I kind of feel like the other producers or the studio was just kind of like, man, we're gonna, you know, they really kind of wanted to keep an eye over everything, and they were saying, you know, you got to cut this, you're spending too much money. And Wes Craven did not really have a good experience on this movie. But, I mean, taking all that into account, it still came out pretty decent, I thought. And even though it didn't do very well at the box office, when it came out on video, it kind of became a cult hit, so much so that they made a sequel to it that had Dick Durra came back, and Louis Jourdan came back, and Adrienne Barbeau did not want to come back, so they put Heather Locklear in it instead as the love interest. And then they also did a TV series that I think went on for a couple seasons, and they did an animated, like a kids show, although I think that only lasted a few episodes. But so it's definitely, you know, made a cultural impact, you know what I mean? Just, which is strange, like, when you see this first movie, which is good, but, you know, considering, like, how much of a cult following it has nowadays.
Swamp Thing kind of reminds, it kind of feels like, to me, it kind of feels like Creepshow. Like a Creepshow episode.
In Creepshow, there was that second one that had Stephen King in it, The Lonesome Death of Geordie Verrill, where he turned into a plant person also.
Yeah, I guess so.
So there was a lot of that shit. There's a lot of people turning into plants in comic book movies in 1982.
Well, Creepshow was a comic book movie, too.
Yeah.
That was
EC. Yeah.
And it kind of had that same tone, and it had a lot of the same effects. It was just more action-oriented. Kind of like an action movie from the 80s.
And I mean, Creepshow is...
A lot of dudes blowing up. And
is much, much better than Swamp Thing. I do like Swamp Thing, but Creepshow is like a lot better. Yeah. Swamp Thing has some of the comic book stuff to it, like the wipes.
Yeah.
Or comic booky like Creepshow had. But it's not as stylized. Yeah. I mean, one of the best things about Creepshow is that it looks like a comic with its bright ass colors and all those like crazy backgrounds and stuff like that. This one doesn't have that. It's a lot more naturalistic.
If you like 80s action and you liked Creepshow, you'd probably like this movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. And like I said, if you always wanted to see Adrienne Barbeau's tits.
Yeah, you want to see that version that's on
Tubi. You want to see the version. Barbara. The version that's on Tubi does have all the titties. Yeah. Does have all the nudity.
Pretty impressive. pretty impressive.
And like I said, I do like...
Well, you know, not too much today. I mean, all these girls are fucking got huge fucking cans and fucking a lot of implants. I mean, you know, it's just everywhere now. But back in those days, you know, just...
Well, you had to take what you could get.
You had to take what you could get. You know, porn was difficult to get, you know, especially you couldn't just get it delivered to you over a phone. Carrying your phone around your pocket, that shit didn't exist back then either. So
yeah, you had to find some Playboys in the woods or something.
Some bullshit,
or hope for a little glimpse or try to see stuff like you know, you had all the Playboy channel and stuff that was all like scrambled on your cable box and you had to like just watch and it's like, oh, I think I see a nipple.
Yeah.
It was that.
Yeah. I remember those fucking channels.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, they were all scrambled.
Mm-hmm. But every now and then you could kind of see something.
Yeah, like straight down for a few seconds every now and then.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, all right. But sometimes it's during a commercial, though.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, so, tell us what you think about Swamp Thing, one of Wes Craven's lesser talked about movies, I guess, even though it's actually a perfectly enjoyable 80s monster movie, kind of fun. You know, could have done with some better special effects, but that's okay. I still had a good time watching it. So yeah, that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.